So I want to really a simple message today, but I want to invite you, and I want to do something different today, because I've never done preaching before. I want to invite you to dialogue as well, and we'll be doing it at the end of the message. But there's people here today, and maybe you're one of them, that you don't even know that God is calling you. And I imagine looking at everyone here, that a lot of us have been in church lives a lot. And definitely, I've just realized that I haven't welcomed any first-time visitors. Steve, which Steve? Okay. If there are any first-time visitors, welcome. We have a gift for you. Please come see Daphne afterwards. She'll see to you. But you didn't know that God is calling you. That when we respond to God, it's usually because He called us first. And it's interesting, the Greek word here for calling is kalesis. It means invitation. And it comes from the original word is kaleo, and it means to bid, to call, and to name. So I'm going to demonstrate it for you. If I want to, Steve, we're picking on you today. If I want to call Steve, I'll go,
Steve!
Yes! Here I am, send me. I know that's in your heart. But it's literally that. God is calling you by name. He knows your name. And in fact, if He wants to change your name, He'll tell you what your new name is, but He'll call you by your original name first. Because when God changes His name, so God is calling every one of us. He's already called us by name. The second group, we're waiting. We're really desperately trying to hear from God, saying, God, I'm here. Use me. I need to know and I need to hear from you. Maybe there's a group of people here that have been called before, they've done amazing works for God, they've kind of been there, done that, and now we're just simply going through the motions. We've seen God move, we've seen God use us, and now we're just going through the motion. Maybe there's people today here, you feel hidden, like no one sees, even God doesn't see. And I want to encourage you today that we are part of a kingdom that's dynamic, it's ever-changing. You can't stay in the same place. It's like that new wine that's bubbling up. It's changing, it's growing, it's moving. There's no retirement in the kingdom. There's no sitting under a tree. There is for a season, but there's times to get up. We never arrive, we're always on the journey, and we don't stay in the past. We're continually moving in a kingdom that's dynamic. And God has been speaking to me about stepping up. And stepping out. And I want to encourage anyone here who's in any form of ministry or you're leading anything or you know the call of God. God is saying it's time to step up. What kind of stepping up are we looking at here? Our devotion to God, which always comes back to the simplicity of time and His word and prayer. How simple is it, but yet we make it so complicated. Just to get out, open His word, pray to Him, seek Him with everything, and saying, God, I'm not leaving until You speak to me today. You know, it's funny, in the yachting industry that I worked in, often you'd have to go varnish the boat. I only worked on wooden yachts, and it required a lot of maintenance, a lot of varnish. And when you go, and so the one boat I worked on was 135 foot long, and I had to do the guardrail that goes right around the whole boat. So times that by two and a little extra, you got 270, 280 feet of guardrail, you got to sand. And you stand, and you sand, and if you like me, you like it to be perfect. So you sand for hours, and you go around the whole boat, and then you have to wash the whole boat, because you have to get rid of all the dust, because the last thing you want is a speck of dust landing. And then you wait for the right humidity, the right temperature, the right wind. If it's too windy, you can't. And then you go and you do the varnishing. And it's stressful because if you leave a brush stroke or something, you want to go and redo the whole thing. But the painting is so quick, but the prep is so long. And I think there's something about that in terms of stepping up, that God wants is preparing us always for what He wants to do through us. So if you're leading a ministry today, I want to encourage you, let's lead boldly and courageously in this year ahead. Let's not operate in the natural. Let's operate in the supernatural. Let us hear God. Because when God moves, it doesn't make sense in the natural. It doesn't seem possible in the natural. It's a supernatural. And the last area I want to share about in terms of stepping out is living a generous life. Living beyond yourselves. Now, our neighbors who are part of the church have come back from Zanzibar, but they've got COVID. And they man down. And you can easily just send a prayer. Or you can just arrive there and say, here's supper for tonight. There's something that God is calling us to live beyond ourselves, to live generous lives. And that's how we step up. We step up and then we step out and do it. Something I learned from COVID, one person was sharing, and she was sharing about the generosity of people that came to her house. She's one of the first people to have COVID in our school community, and everyone arrived at the doorstep. There's something about arriving that's different to saying, I'm praying for you. And please, prayer is powerful. I'm not negating prayer. But actually, prayer is the best place to start. But when we pitch up and we step up and we step out and we arrive, that's where we see God move. Now, when you think of stepping up and stepping out, there's one man that comes into this, probably been, this message has probably been preached the most, and that's Peter in the boat. And it's amazing. If you look at the different stages we see with Peter going through in the account of him in the boat, we understand that Peter and all the disciples are sitting in the boat. They see someone walking on water. And of course, Peter says, Jesus, if that's you walking in the water, call me. And Jesus says, Peter, come. And that is the call that we know. Is that when God calls us, he gives us a mandate to go, to step up. To step up and step out. And I can imagine when Peter heard that, he must have got excited. I don't know if you've ever experienced that before. I remember I've had experiences like that before where I felt called by God to go into Gateway and start a youth ministry there, which we called Floodgates. And we went into Gateway and it took over the whole of the Wave House and we did events there. And you get excited when the word comes. And Peter got excited. And I think he got even more excited when he took that first step and it was solid ground he was walking on. And his faith was high. There must have been joy. In the same way, often when God calls us, we feel the excitement, we feel the joy, and we feel the rush and say, God is calling me. I want to get out of this boat. I want to keep going. As soon as we start walking, we're excited. We can't believe what's happening. And all of a sudden, we look at the natural things around us. Budgets, bank accounts, our natural abilities, all these things come up, and all of a sudden what happens? We turn from being supernatural to natural. And we say, this is not right. Suddenly fear, anxiety, the very things that Jesus tells us not to operate in, suddenly grips us. We're gripped with fear and anxiety, and suddenly we're looking at the waves and we're overwhelmed what's around us, and we forgot the one who called us by name, who said, come. And so stepping out became instantly eyes off him, and we fall. But we see the graciousness of God, how he just picks Peter up. And we often think that God is rebuking, hey, like, why did you doubt? You should have doubted. I told you not to. I imagine his words be, why did you doubt? Why did you not believe? So when it comes to stepping out, there's something of the supernatural nature that God is saying, that when you take that step of faith, as I'm calling you, keep your eyes on me, be led by the Spirit, and keep doing that. Don't rely on your feelings. I don't know if you've heard that analogy of when you're walking on a wall, you never walk looking back at your feelings because you're probably going to fall over the wall. You look forward where faith is, and a tightrope walker will not walk like this. He will walk looking forward, eyes fixed on the horizon, not on things behind. In the same way, when we take that step of faith, eyes must be fixed forward into what God is calling us. So we look at Peter's journey, and it's the same for you and I. Has anyone here ever stepped out in faith? You knew God called you to something, and there were things around you that pulled you away and stopped you from fulfilling your call. You know, there's pastors and people in ministry who are so comfortable in salaries and retirement things and that they often negate the very call of God on them because the comfort that's around them can be the very thing that stops you from stepping out on your call. In the same way, the man sitting under the tree, this picture I had, it's comfortable to sit under the tree. just to stay there. But it's a lot more exciting to take a step and walk out. Sorry, just to describe the picture a bit better, was a tree, but there was just like parched land around it. And often, when we take that step of faith, it's a lonely step. It's something that we do, that God does. So we understand that we see how when God calls us, is initially we have the calling, there's excitement, the newness, the freshness of it. But there's also times in our lives where God hides us. And we see so often in ministry how people that God uses are hidden for a season. They have this radical call, but then all of a sudden they're sidelined for a season. Have you ever experienced that in your life? And we look at Scripture. Jesus, at the age of 12, could stand here and wow you and preach to you in a way that you'd be amazed at the level of teaching of this young boy. He amazed those religious leaders in the temple. But for 18 years, he had to be obedient to his natural mother and father. But in that 18 years, something got formed there that God looked at him and said, "You're my son. I love you. I'm well pleased with you," and released him into ministry. We see how Paul has this radical conversion. Our natural thing would be to put him on the pulpit, send him all over the world. But what happens? For a season of his life, he is taken away. He goes to Arabia. We don't know what happens in Tarsus and Arabia and those places, but he's taken away for a season. But when he comes back, he's effective. We see Joseph being put away as well. We see so many of the heroes of the faith being put away, and there's none more so than Moses. Imagine being put away for 40 years. I think when Moses went to the Israelites, he went to them at the age of 40 and said, "I'm your man. I can save you all. I can make your lives better." And what happens? Kills a man and ends for 40 years and comes back a bumbling fool. But humble. And God says, "Now I can use you." But when the time comes for us to step out, there has to be something in us that where we are strong and where we are courageous. Because stepping out means not being able to be overwhelmed by the wind and the waves. That I'm going to remain strong and courageous. I'm going to walk in my calling and my faith that God has called me to. And I'm not going to be moved by those things around me. I'm going to stay resolute, upright. There's a wonderful passage in Scripture, and it's talking about Jesus ministering up in the north in Galilee and that, but it suddenly changed when it says he set his face like flint to Jerusalem. Jesus' ministry was thriving. There were people radically getting saved. There were signs, wonders, and miracles. And then he had to turn his face towards Jerusalem to face the cross. And it said he did it resolutely, or set his face like flint. And there's something about leadership in the kingdom that we have to set ourselves like flint. No matter what the people are saying, the naysayers are saying, we have to set our face like flint on the very things that God has called us to be. It's a time and a season for courageous leadership in this world we're living in. In fact, the world's going to pot. We are watching a movie. What they do it every year, the Royal Variety Show. Let me just watch it. I just had to fast forward through most of it. It's just shocking the way the world's going. So there's an initial calling which is fresh and new. There's a time of hiding. There's a time we have to be bold and courageous. And there's a time of testing that can come as well. We see how God tests even his own son. How God tests Abraham. Before he became a father of many nations, was he willing to kill his only son? And we understand the prophetic nature of that. But was he willing to kill his only son as a demonstration that his trust was in God and not being overjoyed, overwhelmed by the promise? As we sang today, I'm coming back to the heart of worship. It's all about him. When I had my first son, for parents out there, when you have your first son, you can't believe you can love someone so much. It's overwhelming. And for the first week, I was just totally blown away. There was a song that Andre de Villiers was singing at the time that became the song. And I suddenly realized that my son was becoming everything. I was becoming his source, his provider, his protector. A time came when this thing that was on me lifted off me, this of all this fear, anxiety, when I said, God, he is your child. You're his source. You're his protector. You're his provider. I'm not. I'm here to steward and love him as a father, but you are his true heavenly father. You're the best father. And it's amazing how that weight lifts off you, and you realize that you're working with God. But I want to encourage you today that if you're sensing God's calling, and in walking in his calling, there's a few things we need to overcome. And some of these I've faced and I'm facing. And the first one, the fear of man. Have you been at a bra and someone's saying things and you can say, please, don't talk that way, whatever. The ability just to stand in front of man and speak what God is saying to you and not compromising anything that God has put on your heart out of fear of man. The second one, and this is a big one for me, and I'm walking in this, the fear of provision, the sense of lack that God won't provide. I've had some amazing testimonies. It's hard for me to share around provision being a paid pastor because I don't want to send a message out, but I've seen God do the most miraculous things recently in the area of provision. Then the third area is our own ability. When we're called by God, often the very thing he calls us to do is not our natural ability. I remember when I first arrived at church, I've been going to church for about a week, and we're in a school hall called Glen Ashley School Hall, and a guy I was visiting, he came down the stage and said, you, God is calling you to leadership. And I was like, I was the guy who caused all the trouble. I was the guy getting caned by guys like Steve and all that. My kids today can't believe that you actually got caned at school. They can't believe that you actually got caned. You should go to the mirror and show your friends, look at all the lines. They can't believe that actually took place. Where was I going with this? I completely lost track on that. Our own ability, often where we are weak. God's never used me in captaining into leading or anything like that. Often where we are weak, he is strong. If you are a shy person, God could call you the most radical evangelist. When the power of God comes upon you, he can make this thing, the chip stool, suddenly become a voice for him. Taking a risk. You know that I had a guy do a risk profile on me, one of those investment guys. They asked if I could do a risk. He says, you're the highest I've ever seen. There's a difference between risk and stupidity, but somehow faith is risk and is linked into the ability to step out and take a chance. But we don't step out just on a whim. We step out when the Lord has spoken to us. The lovely lady, Kerry Southey, some of you may know her. She passed away, and I went to her funeral in Bloemfontein. She's an amazing prophetic lady, Australian, who married a Karoo farmer, but ministered before kings and queens all over the world. And she lived by three simple principles, and I'd love these to be part of our values too. Love the person in front of you. Whoever's in front of you at the time, love them. Then the second one was follow the nudge of the Holy Spirit. Always allow the Holy Spirit to nudge you. And the third one is live a life of no regrets. And some of us here, we're all different ages. Some of us here may be further down the line, but still we can live a life of no regrets. The fifth area, just to be aware of, there'll always be giants in opposition. There'll always be the naysayers. There'll always be the wind and the waves. But when we have the ability to boldly and courageously not to look at them, but fix our eyes straight ahead, like flint, on him. And the last area, and this is the area we can call Netflix, the comfort zone. It's so much easier just to sit on the couch and do nothing. How many of you actually want to be comfortable? I think thanks for being honest. I think a lot of us here would like to be comfortable. But is that truly living? Is it truly living under the tree where you're safe? God never leaves us where we're comfortable. I want to share you of an amazing story, a sailing story, so please forgive the sailing. It was of the America's Cup. There was a team called New Zealand, and they were racing against America in America in San Francisco Bay. They were 8-1 ahead. They needed one race to win. The other team had to win, was it 8 in a row in order to win? They were so comfortable in their ability. You know, they lost the next 9 races in a row and lost the America's Cup, Team New Zealand. From that day onwards, they made a decision as a team, we are never, ever going to do that again, where we just sit on our laurels. We arrived there and we had the best and we don't. From that day onwards, they decided we're going to be innovative all the time, no matter how well we're doing. And from that, they won the America's Cup 3 times in a row. No team outside of America has ever done that. Actually, they've been voted the best America's Cup team of all time. They decided we're not going to get comfortable. We never arrive in the kingdom. We're continually moving forward and growing. So here's a challenge to you today, and I want you to cooperate with me in this. I want to ask you to form groups of 2, 3, 4. Maybe you're with someone right now, maybe it's just the 2 of you. I want you to ask yourself 3 questions. What areas in my life can I step up? What is the Lord saying to me where I can step out? And what are the wind and the waves in your life right now? So what are the areas in my life where I can step up? What is God calling me to step out into? And what are the areas in my life of the wind and the waves that can rob me or take away from the very calling that God has on my life? So what I'd like to do is to close in prayer. And I want to say to you now that if you don't step up and step out, we are slowly dying inside. God's calling us. I love the fact that today you said to me, we got to start prayer. That is stepping up and that is stepping out. Because we can wait another week. A week can turn into a month into a year. But God's saying, no, step up. So I want to pray for you. Then I can ask you to get in groups and to spend a bit of time with one another. Form your own groups. Corne, we can form a group together. We can form a group here just with your friends and family. But I want to just pray over you all. Father, I just thank you this morning, Lord. That you love us enough, Lord. That we still live with purpose and calling. You know us by name. And you're calling us, Lord, to step up and step out in this year. So, Father, I pray, Lord, that you'll give us a boldness, a courage to believe you, to hear from you, Lord, and to stand up and step out in what you're calling us to. So, Father, I pray that even as we break into groups, just for a few minutes, Father, I pray, Lord, that you, in that few minutes, you will open our hearts, you will awaken us, Lord. You will be like those who dream again. And I pray, Father, just that you speak in our times together. In Jesus' name, amen.